Anything else? All right, we'll be in Revelation chapter 18 tonight. Revelation 18. Thankful for God's brought us a long way, and I feel like it's getting better and better. It's not getting better for the world, but it's getting better for God's people as we get further into Revelation. And I'm telling you what, it's been a blessing. I don't know if it's been a blessing for you, but it's been a blessing for me. And it shouldn't be a surprise if it's a blessing for us, because God's Word says it will be. When you get into this book, when you study it, when you dig into it, when you live by it, it says it'll bless you, specifically Revelation. But I'm glad that God's Word is still true. Even though many years have passed, even though certain things look like it would be hard for it to be accomplished. You ever notice that? Some of these things, you sit here and you wonder, well, how is that going to happen? How could this be destroyed when there's not something there? And then you remember, we're talking about God. He started with nothing. There's nothing too hard for Him. So if there's a promise that you see, and it seems like it would be awful hard for it to happen right now, just remember, this is God who made the promise. And it doesn't matter what this world does, at the time when God is ready, He can do whatever He wants. And I'm glad that all of His promises are true. His yeas are yea, and His nays are nay, and everything in between. And I'm thankful. We can trust God, and I'm thankful for that. But Revelation chapter 18, I'm not sure how far to read into it. We can read, we'll read to 9. We'll go further, but we'll just read this part. So Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of this earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye not receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and hath lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come, and one day death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who hath committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." Actually, let's go two more. "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city of Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would make it come alive. Lord, open up our ears and our hearts. We ask that the Holy Spirit would teach us tonight. Lord, use me to preach. And Lord, I pray that everything would be done in your name. And Lord, that would help us to draw closer to you, learn from you, be encouraged, but also be challenged tonight. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and amen. So we talked about chapter 17 and chapter 18 are a little parentheses right here. In chapter 17, it talks about Mystery Babylon. And in chapter 18, it talks about Babylon, the Great Babylon. And the difference is, in 17, you've got a religious Babylon that falls in 17. And now in chapter 18, we've got the commercial Babylon that is falling. So you see a complete destruction destruction. And if you can look at the similarities and the differences between the two chapters, and you realize that by the time it's over, it is a complete destruction. And that is when God brings judgment. You know, I've heard people say, they talk about the flood, that it was only a localized area. It was only so deep. That's not what my Bible says. It completely covered the earth, and God started over with the souls that were in the ark. And when He judges, it will be complete. He's not going to leave any. It's not going to be an accident. He's not going to skip over, or He's not. It's not like He can only cover so much and that's it. It will be complete. So we're seeing a little more detail tonight into the fall of the commercial side, and this is the side that really speaks to us in our world today. So we see first in verse 1, a powerful angel starts declaring the destruction of the city that's lightened, and we see that. And then in verse 2, the angel gives a proclamation, and we see that this descriptive language that Babylon had become a headquarters of the demon world. And doesn't it make sense here? We see a strong, great angel that's powerful with a strong voice talking about it becoming the habitation of devils. And I don't know about you, but you look at a lot of these big cities and you see just a concentration of evil and a concentration of those that are against God and atheism and false religion and everything else. They claim that they're evolving, they're growing as a society, and they're more progressive or whatever label they want to give themselves. But in all reality, they're just rebelling further from God, and they think that they're individualist, and they're thinking up their own things, but their father, the devil, is the one that's given them the same ideas that he gave Cain, that he gave all those through the years. Nimrod, the one that used to rule the first battle in Genesis chapter 11, we see it over and over again. Nothing but rebellion against God, and this has not come from men's imagination by themselves, but it is the demons, it is the evil spirits that are working through. I'm telling you what, you look at a lot of these false religions, you look at a lot of these things going on today, and it is all centered in the devil. They don't even realize it. And in fact, before we were saved, we were children of the devil, and we served him, but we didn't even realize it either. Listening to his lies, following the flesh and everything else. But we see this headquarters of the demon world. Now, some people will say that this Babylon and this chapter is symbolic, because I started to give this away before I started preaching, because the modern day spot where Babylon is just kind of like a tiny little village. It's nothing like it used to be. It used to be one of the wonders of the world with the hanging gardens and everything else. And they say, well, now Rome has replaced it because of this reason and because of that reason. And they say that it's Rome mainly because of the Roman Catholic Church. But I'm here to tell you, when God talks about false religion, it's more than any one religion. In fact, this world has many enormous false religions of Islam, Hindu, you know, Catholic, over all of these different false religions. So when Mystery Babylon fell, it was all the religions. It was every one of them. And in the Bible, when you look at Babylon, we're seeing over and over again, it's talking about a literal place. Rome is the seat of one main false religions, but there Islam is located in another spot. And here's the thing, there's nothing stopping them from rebuilding that city. And the fact that there are still things there show us that God is going to say after these judgments are done that it will be desolate. It's not desolate. It might be a small town, but there's still a town there. He said nothing will be there. So that tells me it hasn't happened yet. But you know what? It's no different than them saying, well, some of these things in Revelation require a temple, and there's no temple there. They'll build one. They'll build one. And in fact, you know what our God can do that He's done before? He'll use the devil's people and the devil's money to build it, to get His will to be done. He used Cyrus, king of Persia. He can use whoever He wants. Then we see in verse 3, we see all nations are involved, for all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So this city will be great. It will be connected all around the world. Not only have all nations connected, but it talks about the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So we see a connection all across the world. And you see the richness, you see the abundance, you see the luxuries, all of these things mixed together. But one thing I noticed is the Bible talks about fornication several times in this verse. And I'm here to tell you, number one, it's still a sin. I don't care what this world thinks. I don't care what popular belief thinks or opinion thinks. But what you see is really the goal of many today in this world. They want to have sex without any restrictions. They want to fulfill every pleasure and lustful desire that they can satisfy, and it will be no different in that day. All we see is just the world setting itself up. And why does it end all of this pleasure seeking and luxury seeking and abundance and self-satisfaction and everything else? Is because they stripped out religion. You ever notice that? You take religion out, you're going to get rid of any type of morality. You're going to get rid of any type of sacrifice or any type of limitation. You want to know one of the reasons why this world can't stand us and can't stand God's word is because, like it or not, that word condemns them and they don't like it. That's why they want us to agree to every sinful lifestyle in this world. But yet, as if it's me deciding, but I'm here, I'm just standing here saying this is what God said. And you know what? God created me. God saved me. God set everything up. And it's His, the one. He's the one that's taken me home. And He's the one I'm trusting in. So if He said it's wrong, I'm going to tell you it's wrong. Not based on my opinion, but based on the truth of God's Word. But here's what you see. You take out a religion, and all you've got is pleasure seeking. We're seeing that in this world today. We're seeing it satisfying every desire. Verse 4 is really interesting. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues." This is interesting because God is calling His people to come out of the city. You realize something? You go into chapter 17, God never called His people out of false religion, because His people aren't in false religion. Right? Yeah. It goes down to every detail. He says you've got to come out of it. They wouldn't be His children in verse 17. But one of the dangers that any of us can fall into even today is the trap of commercial, material, non-satisfied with the Lord, but needing to find satisfaction in things. That Babylon of chapter 18, it can drive us to be just like the merchants wanting to build up businesses and enterprises. It can drive us to be just like the kings wanting to take in every pleasure and power and everything else. This is the problem. And God is saying very clearly, "Come ye out, my people. You've got to get out of that." And I don't know about you, this world is trying to suck us in. In fact, you watch a TV show, every few minutes they have a break, and they're trying to show you something you can't live without. You go into the newspaper, it's got the same thing, ads, magazines, everything, the internet, they've got advertisements all through it. Through everything, trying to convince you that your life isn't complete without all of these things. And this is what the world's trying to do, find satisfaction in what they can order on Amazon or buy in the store or anything else. But I'm here to tell you, the problem is it's all hollow. It's all temporary. You can only enjoy stuff for a while, and then you'll want more stuff, and you realize that the stuff just becomes a problem because you gotta store it, you gotta insure it, you gotta do everything else with it. But I'm here to tell you, I'm glad we can find satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Yes, we have to have things to survive, and no, it's not a sin to buy things for yourself, but I'm here to tell you, what drives you is the question.
Yeah.
They were driven by their stuff.
driven by the luxuries, driven by being able to live a comfortable life.
And you saw where it led him to. It didn't lead him to God. It led them away from God.
And in fact, it's another thing that they rejoiced when false religion was gone. When religion was gone, they rejoiced over it. We can sell more now.
Right? God says, come out of it. And you're thinking, wait a second.
This doesn't make sense. How could God's people be in the middle of it? And then I'm reminded of a story in Genesis. When Lot and his wife were in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that angel came and told him, you've got to get out because destruction is coming.
Yeah.
And that Sodom, that draw, you could tell in Lot's life, he had gotten a taste in it of that lifestyle when he went to Egypt with Abraham, and he was never the same. Remember when they split, he looked over and he saw the plains of Sodom. They were well watered just like they were in Egypt, and he knew he could live that comfortable life again. So he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and then later on we find himself living in Sodom. Abraham frees him. Remember when the war happens and he gets taken captive? He gets freed and he goes right back to it again. And now God is saving him out of it, and it doesn't make sense for us. And he loses his testimony because everyone laughs at him when he says judgment is coming, but God still pulls him out. I don't fully understand why, and I don't fully understand why he pulls people out, but that's what God said he would do. He said, these are my people, they're in the middle of it, and I'm yanking them out of it. And I say praise God for that. That means God's merciful, because any one of us could fall in this trap. Any one of us.
And we see it all the time. It's sad. Here's why the judgment is coming. You start to see it in verse 5. You see what it says? For her sins have reached unto heaven. Man, I read that verse and it sends chills down my spine, because I think, how is our nation any different than that today?
Yeah.
Just the stink and the stench of the sin going up all the way to heaven. And then what's it say? God hath remembered her iniquities. Outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, God never forgets a single sin. He never does. And He will remember that. He will remember every... In the Old Testament, He remembered every baby that was offered to Molech through the fire. And He will remember every baby that is torn from a mother's womb that our world today calls women's reproductive freedom. And it's just the murdering of a precious soul. It sounds just like Laodicea was at that time. They were rich and had need of nothing, living in luxury. Just like the rich man who had all these goods laid up in store for many years, and God called him a fool, not because of his riches, because he didn't consider the end of his life and eternity and things like that. But you know what? I don't know about you. When I hear a verse like that where it talks about God remembering her iniquities, I'm glad, as a child of God, we've got a promise after promise from God's Word, including Hebrews 8:12, where God said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. It's not because He's absent-minded. It's not because He's forgotten like we forget our keys. It's because He's decided He's not going to remember them anymore. And I say praise God for that. I don't know about you. I'm ashamed of things that I've done, but I'm glad that it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. When He said, I went to take all the sins of the world, that includes your sins and my sins. And I'm glad that we can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation. And I'm thankful for that. I'm not trying to work my way to heaven. I'm just trusting in His shed blood. But you think about this. Their sins had reached unto heaven. Remember, Babylon started with Babel in Genesis chapter 11. It's the same town. Remember what they were trying to do. They were trying to build a tower to reach heaven, weren't they? Men trying to build up themselves and their works to reach God. And you know what happened? And they were unsuccessful in reaching God. But the sad thing is, their sins successfully reached God. That's the sad point. And now God's giving instructions, starting in verse 6, of the ones that are going to carry out the judgment. We see in verse 6, reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. We start to see things, the rendering and rewarding, paying back all of that sin debt now has to be paid. The saddest part is that Jesus paid it all. But if you don't trust in Jesus, you got to pay it yourself. And now we see commercial Babylon is now giving back everything to God. And God's now demanding double. And I thought that was interesting. You see double repeated several times. Well, in the Old Testament, if you stole something from somebody, you had to restore them double. Remember that from Exodus? And it made me wonder, did Babylon really get her riches out of deception and dishonesty? And you start to think about it. Absolutely. We get phone calls all the time of people trying to convince me that I have a rental car down in Texas over that went into the Mexican border and found blood and somebody killed in it. And then I'll get another car call that says my Social Security number suspended, and I'll get another call that says I owe all kinds of back taxes. Do you think all of those things are real? No, it's dishonesty. They're trying to steal from me, and over again. In fact, I wouldn't even have the job that I do at the bank if people weren't dishonest. It's that sad. That's how sad it is. But you know what God said? I haven't forgotten it, and you're going to pay it back double. Can God take all of that? You bet. The earth is God's in the fullness thereof. He's just taking back what He always owned. Taking it right back. And double. Then you're thinking, what did they do to deserve all of this? Verse 7. Look what it says. Self-indulgence. She hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, lived luxuriously, luxuriously. And so that's one thing. She lived in luxury. So much torment and sorrow for her. She sat there like a queen. She sat there in pride. And not only that, she glorified herself in pride. And then not only that, we see that she avoided suffering and sorrow. And you're thinking, wait a second. How is this what happened? And you think that pure materialism, pure greed, pure pride, all of the things that our world is reaching for and trying to gather as much riches as possible, not willing to help poor Lazarus. The rich man wasn't willing to help him out. And you know, the widows and the fatherless and everything else, just casting them all aside. Because what is it that I can get for myself? And what can you do for me? I'll help you if you help me. God never said all of that. And this is what we see. It's just reaching the pinnacle of it. What's crazy? Verse 8. Therefore shall all the plagues come in one day. One day. Death, mourning, famine, utterly burned with fire. One day. And you think about this. I was thinking it wouldn't be hard to shut down all the electronic shopping. You just kill the internet and we can't shop anymore electronically. But what about every other store? Everything. Every market. Every convenience store. Everything where you would buy and sell. And He says, gone. Gone. Can you imagine? How would this world react to that? It's hard to even imagine because our world is built on commerce in every way around, everywhere you think about it. But it was destroyed in one day. But skip forward and look at what it says in verse 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. 1 hour. Look at verses 9 through 11. What's happening? The kings of the earth, the ones that committed fornication, the ones that lived deliciously with her, they shall bewail her and lament her when they see the smoke of her burning. So the kings are weeping in 9. And then others standing afar off are weeping and crying out for it. And verse 11, the merchants are standing and weeping and mourning over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. When everything's gone, there's nothing to buy anymore. Then you skip down in chapter verse 17, and you see where it talks about the ships and those that ran the ships and traded by the sea. They're mourning, they're crying, they're lamenting over it because of the same thing. We have nothing to carry and make our money in anymore. And you try to imagine all of this, everything that we know collapsing in a single hour, and the craziest thing is all the people are still there. And all they're doing is weeping and mourning over all of it. Businessmen, all that I spent so much of my life and poured my life into building and to growing and spent tireless hours, it's all gone. Weeping, there's nothing left. You'll see that going over and over again. Now, what's sad is where you have problems with the stock market, you have bankruptcies, different things like that, and people today will commit suicide, and in that day they're just going to weep and wail. What happened to everything that we had? The vast empires that we built, all are gone. Nobody to buy our luxurious things. Nobody to, nothing to enjoy anymore. Everything is collapsed. Can you imagine it? Gone. Suddenly. Because of God. It's fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils. God says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. It's hard to even imagine this picture. But what's sad is I believe men will weep more of the loss of commercial Babylon than they'll weep over the loss of souls, than they'll weep over the loss of false religion. Most of them are overjoyed by it. More than anything else, they'll be crushed. It's just another way the devil has used to get men away from the true purpose of worshiping God, giving their life to God, serving God, just dedicating it to the God of commerce, the God of merchandise, the God of riches, the God of pleasures, the God of everything else. And I see our world like a freight train barreling towards what God's explaining. We didn't talk about some of those verses that mention things, but all the things that were mentioned, like in 12 and 13, all of those things, you look at it, those were all luxuries. Luxuries. Nobody to buy them. All is gone. What are we going to do? It's sad. It's sad because if this happened today, men would be weeping. They would be crushed. They would say, I don't know, there's nothing to live for anymore. You know, it's sad. It's for the Christian. We see that and we say, well, I'm glad my life wasn't founded in that. But I look at that and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. For revealing yourself to me. Because I would be in that group. I promise you I would. Even the people, see this, it doesn't talk much about, it talks about how the kings lived, and we maybe there's dishonesty there and different things like that, but I believe there's a lot of good, moral people that lived good lives, that were productive in society, that fell, that all that fell, and they were all weeping as well. That's the problem. This world, they look and they say, well, I've got a good family, I've got a home, I've got a good job, I've got this, I've got that, I'm doing all these things, I started up this little business on the side, I'm really getting ahead, I'm saving up my money, I'm doing all these things, and all the while, it's like a house of cards, and here's the problem, even if the house of cards doesn't fail, your body will fail, or the Lord will come back, and they will have to stand
before God, and they will, it will just be so sad because all of that's gone, and they'll realize they wasted all that time, and they have given their soul in exchange for a dollar. And it's sad.
I don't know what the devil's more successful in. False religion or this world and its commerce. But it doesn't matter because in these two chapters both are falling. They're gone. Brought to nothing. This is the end. This is the end. And in the next chapter the Lord's coming back. The weeping, the wailing, we'll turn to fighting. We'll turn to victory. Problem is, this world, they're choosing chapter 17 and they're choosing chapter 18. Today, you know them. We read this and we think of a people of some far off time. We think of some future that's so far in advance. But like I said, if the church is raptured today, it's got to be within 7 years from today. That means it's going to be people you know. It's going to be coworkers. It's going to be family members. It's going to be friends. It's going to be everyone else that are going to be in one of these crowds. We've got to tell them the truth. It's their only hope.
Amen.
They're not getting the truth from the devil. Right? They're not getting the truth once the church is gone. There will be some witnesses, but it will be harder to get saved in this period. Much harder. Especially when you get to points where the world, I don't understand how God does it all and will fit everything into 7 years. It seems crazy, but God will fit it all in and it will all happen. But there's going to be times of great plenty and abundance and luxury even in the 7 years. Because it's all going to fall. Right? They're selling all those things. The ships are moving goods in and out. The merchants are making money. The kings are excited. It's real. It's going to happen. But we need to pray for those people.
Amen.
Because it could be, who knows, whenever the Lord... See, just like Satan has to get somebody ready to be the Antichrist for every age because he doesn't know when. We have to assume that everyone around us is this close to the tribulation. Right? Just like they're that close to death. Either one. It's real, church. The Great Commission is as important as ever. Witnessing the gospel and the resurrection of Christ is more important than ever. I don't want any of my friends going through this. I want them with me. Because you know where we're at? Chapters 4 and 5. We're worshiping. We're around the throne. And you know where the church worshiping around the throne? Who's in the midst? The Lamb.
Amen.
He's in the midst. In chapters 4 and 5, He's in the midst with us tonight. Same thing. Let us stand.
Very good, a song tonight. Maybe you need to pray for